Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. We'll read verses 25 through 30 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 19, verses 25 through 30. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 30. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in this place. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Sunday school hour, in the time between, in the fellowship. And Lord, most importantly, here at this hour. Seems like all morning we've been gearing up for what would happen behind this pulpit. Lord, we need you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Touch his voice as it's a bit weak this morning. Lift him up from on high. Use your word mightily in our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read to you again from the passage of Scripture that we read together a moment ago, John chapter 19, where the Bible says, When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. In this story, this part of the life of Christ, Scripture tells us that there are seven sayings that were given to us by Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. One of the amazing parts of that is that the first three sayings had nothing to do with the great suffering that Jesus was going through. Now, I want you to remember something. He was suffering like nobody had ever suffered. Here he is hanging on the cross. He only makes seven statements on the cross, and the first three have nothing to do with himself. The physical pain that he was under was indescribable. The spiritual pain was beyond our human comprehension. Jesus did not start, though, this painful experience on the cross with himself on his mind. But he started this painful experience of this crucifixion with others on his mind. He didn't speak of his own hurts until later on. He first cared for other people. His first statement that he makes while hanging on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I want you to keep in mind, Jesus has had nails driven into his hands and into his feet as he hangs on the cross. He has a crown of thorns on his brow. A jeering crowd, but a few moments earlier, had yelled, Crucify him! Crucify him! They had given him vinegar and gall to drink. They had plucked his beard. He hangs on the cross, and what does Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the first statement he made. Secondly, we see him on the cross, and he begins to talk to a dying thief. He says, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Again, don't forget, he's hanging on a cross. He has been beaten within inches of his life. They had taken sticks and smote him on the face. They had plucked his beard. They had pushed him around and taken a cat of nine tails and beat him and beat him and beat him. There's the Savior hanging on the cross. He only makes seven statements, but it's amazing. The first three statements have nothing to do with his own personal suffering, has nothing to do with his own physical hurt, has nothing to do with his own mental anguish. The first three statements have nothing to do with the spiritual pressure that he is under. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Secondly, he says, that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, we know in a little while he'll make some of those other statements. In a little while he'll say, I thirst. In a little while, he'll say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In a little while, he'll say, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But wait a minute, others came first to him. Others came first to him. Father, forgive them. That's others. Not only that, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's others. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and while he's hanging on the cross, the first three statements out of his mouth have nothing to do with himself, but has everything to do with others. The third statement that he makes, as he is suffering, he says, Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Again, thinking of others first. He's referring to John and Mama. Here he is, suffering like no man has ever suffered. He's worried about everybody else getting forgiveness. He's worried about a man dying beside him. He's worried about John and his mama. Hey, isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful example that Jesus has given us? Please remember, this is the highest hour in human history. The Son of God is dying on the cross for you and for me. The highest hour in human history. And the Son of God is dying for all of mankind. Remember, this is Golgotha. Remember, this is Calvary. Remember, this is the place of the skull. And while facing pain has never been experienced by a human before, what does Jesus do? He cares about others. And I want you to notice, in this care, he specifically takes a moment for his mother, for his mom. He says, Woman, behold thy son. He was speaking to Mary. Now, standing nearby was John. And if I could say it this way, John and Jesus were best of friends. And he says, Woman, behold thy son. He was saying, Mom, I'd like for you to take care of my friend John. And then he says, Son, behold thy mother. He was talking to John, and he's saying, John, I want you to love my mama. And Mama, I want you to love my friend John, because Jesus knows he's about to die. I'm amazed at this. I'm amazed that the Son of God is dying for all mankind. He only makes seven statements, and the first three have to do with others. And it's amazing, out of those three, he makes sure, while he's hanging on the cross, he mentions his mama. Oh, are not mothers special? You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. Great, big, burly, 6'6", 310-pound linebacker for a football team gets on national television, and he says, Oh, Mom, love my mom. I don't care how big you get. I don't care how old you get and how smart you get. You need your mama. That's just the way it is. But this, to me, is one of the sweetest settings in the entire Bible. To me, if I may, I think in America, we give credit to what we would call the historical starting of Mother's Day, but I'd like to take it back to Calvary. I would like to say that on Calvary, I believe that Jesus Christ took a moment, brought a screeching halt to everything that was happening all throughout eternity, and said, I hang here dying for mankind today, but before I do it, I want to take a moment and mention my mom. I want to mention my mama before I die. To me, if you could, I'd like to say Mother's Day started on Calvary. I'd like to say Mother's Day started when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, while dying for the sins of mankind, just said, wait a minute, stop everything. I want to talk to my mom. I've got something I want to say to my mama. To me, that is so precious. To me, that is so revealing. The day that Jesus put all of his own needs aside, all of his hurt aside, and he noticed Mama. He cared about Mama. On this day, he gave her no flowers. On this day, he gave her no chocolates. On this day, he didn't buy her a new outfit. On this day, Jesus did not give Mary a corsage. On this day, he did not give her a greeting card. On this day, Jesus did not give Mary a meal at her favorite restaurant. And so, you know, I'm for all these things. I'm for every one of those things. But on this day, that's not what Jesus did. He gave her no meal at her favorite restaurant. He gave her no poem. He gave her no gift to unwrap. He gave her no potted plant. But I want to tell you, if indeed this were an establishment of a day to make sure we slow everything down to give attention to Mama, I can tell you what Jesus did give his mother on what might have been the first Mother's Day. Because I've glanced at it, and the Scripture is very clear as to what Jesus Christ did that day for his mother. I call this sermon, What Jesus Gave His Mom for Mother's Day. What Jesus gave his mom for Mother's Day. I want you to remember it. He is hanging on the cross, been beaten like no man has ever been beaten, suffering in anguish, and we will never understand it. Even if we could understand the physical pain, we could never understand the emotional and the spiritual pain that God, come in the flesh, born into a child, named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, suffered that day on that cross. You and I will never understand what he went through, but I can't tell you this, while he was going through it, he brought it all to a halt and said, wait a minute, I need to talk to my mom, I need to do some things for my mom, something's got to happen for my mom right now, and that moves me very deeply at the thought that my Savior would take the time, while he's busy saving mankind, to mention his dear, sweet Mama. Let me show you what Jesus gave his mom on that day. Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mom was that he set aside his busy life and took time to recognize her. Jesus' gift to his mom that day, he took time to recognize her. You understand, there are other people standing around. Mama was there in the background. And Jesus wanted to make sure that everybody knew his mom was there. Jesus wanted to make sure that Mama got some attention. See, understand, Jesus was busy fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy that a Messiah must come. But he stopped it all to take time for his mom. You see, he was busy proving every prediction about a Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the whole world. He was busy taking care of that, but he took time for his mom. See, he was busy making heaven available to all mankind, but he took time for his mama. He was busy being God incarnate, but he stopped it all and said, I need to take time for my mom. He was busy fighting hell's crowd and all the opposition to his crucifixion. He was busy taking care of all that. He said, but wait a minute. I need to give attention to my mom. Everybody look right at me. Look right at me. He was busy. He was busy as all of heaven's hosts watched him, watched what he was doing for all of mankind. But I want you to picture, he's hanging on the cross. I mean, do you have any idea how much is on Jesus Christ's mind at this very moment? The very purpose for him being born, the very purpose for 33 and a half sinless years, everything that Jesus was all about coming in the flesh is taking place on that cross at that very moment. But he says, wait a minute, got to take time for my mom. He said, well, I'm busy. Well, if you're too busy for your mom, you're too busy. So I got my plate full. Your plate's not fuller than what Jesus's was right there. I mean, he was busy running the universe as God. He was busy making the fish, making sure the fish could swim in the sea and the birds could fly in the air. He was busy saving mankind, but he said, wait a minute, I need to take time for my mom. And he did. He was busy shedding his blood for the sake of sinful man, but he took time for his mama. He was busy eliminating the need for any other animal sacrifice to need to be given in history, but he took time for his mama. He was busy retaining his perfect, sinless testimony, but he took time for his mama. He was busy representing God to man and man to God, but he took the time for his mama. He was hurting. He was bleeding. He was swelling, but he took time for his mama. Notice, God's son took time for mama, and he was busy on the cross. He was busy changing mankind. He was not too busy for mom. His gift to her, if this were the beginning of Mother's Day, his gift to her was a gift of recognition. It was a gift of time. He reminded her that she was still very important to him. Can I tell you something, folks? Sometimes we get so caught up in our busyness that we forget our mama. Sometimes we get so caught up in our careers, we forget mama. Sometimes we get so caught up in gathering all our toys and our houses and our cars and our money that we forget mama. Jesus Christ, the richest of the rich, the greatest of the great, the most powerful of the powerful. Hey, the most busy of the busy, all of a sudden said, stop it all. Hold on! I need to talk to my mama. I need to say something to my mama. I can promise you we could go to some gray hairs in this building that would say to you they would give anything to have mama back for a little while so they would take a little more time for mama. Those of you that mama's still alive, you need to take time for your mama. You need to make sure you say, I'm busy. You're not as busy as Jesus was that day. His gift to mother on Mother's Day was a gift of attention. It was a gift of recognition. His gift to his mother on Mother's Day was a gift of a place of priority in her life, in his life, and in his thinking. He made sure that mama was a part of it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. To the deep theologians that go down deep and come up dry, let me tell you something today. Something happened on the cross of Calvary that you don't need big words to describe. A son loved his mama. A son loved his mama. I say to you, Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mom was he set aside a moment in his busyness and just recognized her and gave her some time. There's something else that I see in the scripture here. On this day, I feel like this could be the establishment of a Mother's Day when the Son of God sets an example with a mother. But I say this, Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mother was that he gave her the assurance he was going to heaven. He gave her that assurance. Hey, let me ask you a question. Does your mother have the assurance that you're going to heaven? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you die? You see, get this. While Jesus was dying, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Mama heard that. His mama was standing by and heard Jesus say, I'm going to be stopping by paradise. She heard him say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You see, as mama was at the foot of the cross, Jesus was testifying to the fact that I'm on my way to heaven. Don't you think that was a comfort to that mama? Don't you think a mama at the foot of the cross that realized in just a moment my son's going to pass into eternity, but when he does, he's on his way to heaven. Oh, how comforting. She heard him say it, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, Jesus did not have to be saved, but he was on his way to heaven. And she knew he was on his way to heaven. And let me tell you, every person under the sound of my voice, your mama ought to have the assurance of knowing that if you died, you would go to heaven. Mary's heart was broken about her son's coming death, but he comforts her and tells everybody, I'm on my way to glory land. I'm heaven bound. You see, please don't miss the human aspect of this, my friend. I think maybe as he hung there, mama could remember back. I think she could remember back to the day that he was born and that first cry of little baby Jesus. And she took him in her arms and held him up close to her. And she played with those little fingers and played with those little hands. She probably, when he was little, sang to him, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." I can picture her taking care of baby Jesus. Don't miss it now. Somehow we forget this was, hey, Jesus was a little baby boy, and Mama reared him and loved him. She remembered those little feet. She remembered those little hands. She remembered and sang to him. I don't know. Maybe your mom ever played that little game with you. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home, and I don't know how the whole thing goes. I don't have all the scripture memorized, but I know that part about we all the way home. I remember that part. And my mom, when she'd do that, she'd tickle me, and we would have fun. Let me tell you something. Jesus and Mary did that. Oh, how she loved that little boy. Mama, don't you miss it now. That was a true mama, and she had given birth to the Son of God as he hung there on the cross, and you could imagine the pain as she watched what he was going through, and he knew he needed to comfort his mama. He knew that her heart would be heavy. He knew that she was watching him be crucified, giving himself away, and he took a moment, and he said, "Mama, don't worry. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven." She loved her little boy, and I don't think anything could have comforted her as much as to know he was on his way to heaven. You see, when I called my mother earlier this morning, my mother did not have to worry about, is her son saved? My mama knows I'm born again. My mom and I, we won't be together today, but she knows the day's coming when we'll be together in heaven. Oh, what a comfort. I know this. I know as I get on airplanes and fly across the country and as I travel, I know that my mother has a comfort because she knows her boy is born again. She knows if for some reason she would never see me again. She knows I'm saved. She knows I'm born again, and we'll see each other again someday. To those of you, maybe your mama's already in heaven, may I say she wants to see you again someday. No mother wants her child to go to hell. There's no better gift that someone could give a mom on Mother's Day than to just get saved so mama knew you were on your way to heaven. So mama would know you're on your way to heaven. I wish I could sing it. There's a song. It's an old one. I don't even know if it's in the songbook. Tell my mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Hey, that's someone saying, Jesus, tell my mama I'm coming someday. Tell my mama I'm going to be in heaven with her someday. No other gift means more than one to know that their child is on their way to heaven. The assurance of going to heaven. Jesus gave that to his mama. Again, Jesus didn't have to be saved, but Jesus assured her and comforted her and said, Mom, don't you worry about me. I know where I'm going. I'm going to paradise. I'm giving my spirit's going to that Father. That's where I'm going. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to get born again. You ought to give your mom something better than a car and better than a meal at her favorite restaurant, better than a croissant. Get born again. Get saved. You see, on Mother's Day, I see a wonderful thing. I see that Jesus gave his mother some time and recognized her. He set aside the busyness of saving mankind and running the universe. He set a moment aside for mama. Then I see that he gave her the assurance that he was going to heaven. There's something else I see here. I see Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mom as a gift of his love for others. Don't you think that she was proud of him and his behavior on the cross? While he was hurting, he was busy helping others. You hear what he said? Hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Don't you think, as a mama standing at the foot of the cross, she had seen what those people had done for him, and I'm sorry, done to him. And he says, Father, forgive them. I bet that mom just swelled with pride and said, what a tough guy to be abused and mistreated and to be deep enough to say, Father, forgive them. Don't you think that's one proud mom? Why? She was proud because her boy cared about others. When on the cross, he turns and says to a dying thief, somebody nobody else cared about, he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Don't you think that mama thought way down deep in her soul, I'm glad when he was little, I taught him to take care of other people and to be good and to be nice and to be gentle. Now he's dying on the cross, crucified, beaten, mistreated, and abused. And he's up there saying, forgive them. And today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Take care of John, he said. Mary could look on the cross and see a son who cared about people. What a happy mother. That had to warm her heart. You see, her son was not stingy. Her son was not greedy. Her child was giving his life for mankind. Moms, can you imagine? Can you imagine being the mom of Jesus? Everything he did was for others. What a quality. What mom would not be thrilled to see her child behaving this way? Jesus gave his mother a kind son. Jesus gave his mother a compassionate son. No mother wants her children to be rude. No mother wants her children to hurt people. Well, I tell you, over and over again, growing up, how many times have you and I heard mama say, be good to people. Don't do that to your brother. Leave your sister alone. Don't act like that. That's not how we act. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for mothers. And I think Mary was able to look at the cross and see Jesus, the God-man, the Son of God, and yet a child that came forth from her own womb. And she was able to hold her head high and say, that's my boy. He's caring about others. He's helping people who can't help themselves. No mother wants her child to have temper problems toward fellow man and the family. No mother wants that. Mothers are proud of their children. Hey, and you know something? Our mothers want us to love people. Moms want their children to know how to care about people. And moms want their children to learn how to give of themselves. I think that Mother's Day, Mary looked up at her son and said, what a boy. What a boy. I mean, he's up there and all he's caring about is other people and forgiving people and saving people and taking care of somebody that can't take care of themselves. Boy, what a Mother's Day. What a Mother's Day gift that she received. Let me say this. I see something else that I think happened that day. I think the fourth gift, Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mom, was a gift of no bitterness in his life. No bitterness in his life. The Bible says in this passage, tells us in Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted their raiment and cast lots. You know what this says? Jesus was dying, but he says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I've got a hunch that Jesus had no bitterness in his life at that very moment. I think Mary looked up at her son and said, son, after everything you've been through, the way people have abused you and hurt you, and all the twists and turns in life that you've been through, I'm so proud of you to be able to hang on that cross with blood running down your face, blood running down your body, but you're not bitter with anybody. Hey, mothers don't want their children to be bitter. Bitterness is a nasty poison. Bitterness chokes the joy out of someone's life. Jesus was not dying with bitterness in his spirit. He didn't have a bitter heart. He didn't have a bitter attitude. He was not bitter with his mother. He just said, Father, forgive him. Who? All of them. You better thank God Jesus had no bitterness in his heart toward mankind. But there he is, and what I'm recognizing is as he is dying on the cross, all of this is happening in the presence of his mama. He had already brought everybody's attention to mama, and mama gets to look up to her son on the cross and say, "That's my boy. He cares about others. That's my boy." He took time to stop everything and recognize me. He was not bitter with his mother. He was not bitter with his father. You know, there came a point when his father looked away from him and he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" But he wasn't bitter with his father. Not at all. He was not bitter with his brethren. You do realize just a few moments before, Peter, who was supposed to be Jesus' his friend, had betrayed him and denied that he even knew Jesus. But what did Jesus say? "Father, forgive them." No bitterness in his heart. Oh, no. He was not bitter with his crucifiers. He was not bitter with the man that still had in his hand a hammer. A hammer that had been used to drive nails in his hands and his feet. He said, "Father, forgive them." He was not bitter. He was not bitter with his enemies. And who were his enemies? The religious people. The religious people who wanted to hang him on the cross. It was the religious people. He was not bitter with his family. He was not bitter with God. Let me tell you all something. You want to give a good gift to your mama, you get that bitterness out of your life. There are some of you, you're bitter with your mom. Get that out of your life. Forget about it. Forgive and go on. Some of you are bitter with your father, and it hurts your mother. And you're bitter with your brothers, and you're bitter with your sister, and you're bitter with someone. I'll tell you something. Here, Jesus assured his mama he was dying with a clear conscience. He was dying with a pure heart toward his enemies, a pure heart toward his family, with a pure heart toward those that were even his enemies. That's what Jesus gave his mama the day that I would call a real Mother's Day. He was not bitter about some burden that he had carried. He wasn't hanging on the cross, angry and nasty and vicious, out of control, out to hurt anybody that comes his way, out to seek revenge, out to tear somebody up. Not at all. Hey, listen, folks. Bitterness within families is a dirty, rotten sin. You hear that? Bitterness within families is a dirty, rotten sin. We ought to be getting our hearts right and making sure that within our families there is love and compassion and tenderness and goodness and kindness and all of those things. And I'm glad Jesus set a pretty good example. You say, "Well, you don't know what anybody that they did to me." You don't understand what we did to him. Bitterness within the church is a wicked thing. Bitterness in a Christian shames their mother and their heavenly father. Bitterness is a poison. It's a poison. And I see here at the cross some marvelous things happening. But I also see Jesus, and I see his mother, and I see his mother's take, if you will, his mother's angle on all of this. And as I see Mary, I see her looking at a son who had been forsaken by all, a son who had been beaten when he was not guilty, a son who had been abused, a son who had been lied about, a son who had had people, angry mobs, threaten and jeer him, and he hung on the cross and he said, "I'm not bitter." And mama said, "What a boy. What a boy. What a boy I have." I love that thought. I love it. You hear about the little boy that got sent to bed. He got just sent to bed. About 5 minutes later, he said, "Mom?" She said, "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water?" "No. You had your chance. Lights out, boy." 5 minutes later, "Mom, what? I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water?" "I told you no." "What part of no don't you understand? If you ask again, I'm going to spank you." About 5 minutes later, "Mom, what? When you come to spank me, could you bring that glass of water?" Oh my. Jesus Christ is dying on the cross. He's dying for all mankind. His mother is present. We're not shocked. Mama's the one that sticks with you. But there she is. We see some wonderful things occurring. We see that Jesus, a son, a child, was willing to stop his busyness and take some time for mom. Not only that, we see that she received the assurance from him that he was on his way to heaven. Not only that, she gets to see that his care for others is so strong and prominent. We also get to see he's not bitter. He's got a good spirit about him. Let me tell you something else. Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mom was a gift that he was a soul winner. He cared about the souls of men. Luke 23:43 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Here Jesus is dying on a cross. He has been crucified. The two that are hanging to his right and to his left have not been through what he's been through. Jesus is the one that is bloodied and beaten to a pulp. And he has a conversation with one of them that's not saved, and he helps that person to trust Christ as Savior. He's dying. But while he's dying, he's concerned that somebody else is not saved. Again, I think a mother could be proud. I think a mother could be proud. He is winning people to himself all the way to his last breath. What mom wouldn't be honored at a selfless son that cared about the eternity of other people? I want to mention this. We were in men's prayer meeting this Saturday morning, and at the end of the men's prayer meeting, we often take testimonies. And it was a wonderful day at the prayer meeting. Brother Hollander, he spoke up, and he said, "Boy, Thursday night, Brother Bajent and I, we went out soul winning, and we had a great time." He said, "And we won somebody to Jesus Christ." Brother Hollander, that'll make a mama proud. Make a mama proud. Do you realize that every time any of us win someone to Jesus Christ, our mothers are going to have a part in the reward? Because I know there's not a one of us that were made without mama. Mama had investment. You say, "My mom, she's in heaven, but she didn't get many rewards." Let me tell you, get her some. Get her some. Get her some. Can you imagine getting to heaven? And some of you think, "Well, I've seen lots of people saved and influenced lots of people." When you get to heaven, it may be Jesus, when he calls you to the throne for rewards, he's going to say, "Craig Bush, you and your mama, come on." Why? Because mama influenced you. Brother Hollinger, that'll make a mama proud. Telling others about Jesus Christ. Telling others about what Jesus does and that Jesus saves. You know, you think of it. You make an eternal difference for somebody else. Mothers, hey, if you're a mom, you ought to want your kids to know how to tell others how to go to heaven. What a way to help. You say, "I want to feed the poor." I'll tell you what, you find somebody that is poor spiritually and not on their way to heaven, tell them how to get to heaven. That's better than giving a piece of bread. Hannah Lowther, where are you, Hannah? Right over here. Hannah had a couple people saved at Teenage Soul Winning on Thursday night. I checked. That's enough to make a mama proud. Where's Stephanie Merritt at? Stephanie, where are you? Okay, right back there. I think Stephanie had 3 people saved on Thursday night. That's enough teenagers. I'll tell you, that's far better than out partying and getting drunk and carousing. Those young ladies are out getting people born again. And don't you think, can I tell you how their moms feel right now? Because I just mentioned them. Some mom just went, "Yeah, that's my girl." Let me say to all of us, telling others about Jesus Christ, even when our mothers don't have the spiritual sense to understand, it is a compliment to mama that you cared enough to try to keep somebody out of hell. Let me say this and I'm finished. Jesus' Mother's Day gift to his mom was a son that was in the will of God. He was in the will of God. Hey, get this. Why didn't you give your mom what God wants her to have on Mother's Day? I said, why don't you give your mom what God wants her to have on Mother's Day? You know what God wants every mom to have? A child that's living right in the will of God. The greatest gift some of you could give your mom is to get right with God. Mary could proudly look at her son the way he had lived and the way he died and said, "I'm proud of that boy. He lived perfectly in the will of God. You and I, as tainted humans, will not accomplish that, but we ought to strive to do it. Hey, let me take a little chance here. I'm going to risk a little something. And mothers, I hope I don't put you in an awkward predicament. There are some of you that are here in church, and maybe you're a visitor today, and maybe you've not been here in a long time, and your mama said, "Won't you come to church with me for Mother's Day?" Some of them wanted you to come because they want so desperately for you to be close to God. And your mom is going to appreciate the flowers and the card and going to the restaurant, but I'm going to tell you, in her heart of hearts, she really would like your family to be in church. She'd really like you not to mess up your life. She'd like to believe that there could be peace in the family, and she'd like to believe that the influence of the church and God would make a difference. And mamas, I hope I don't put you in an awkward position. I don't mean to. But I really thought the Lord wanted me to say that today. Why don't you get close to the Lord? Somebody needs to get back in church. Somebody needs to get back in church. She wants you in church. She wants you to do something good with your life. My mom knows exactly where I am today. My mother never wonders where I am on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, ever. My mother has never called my home Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night at church hours. She knows I can't be reached. My mom knows where I am. And your mom ought to always know where you are at church time. And your mom, she wants to know that you're right with God. Look, every mom wants the blessing of God on their child. Every boy in here, it was your mom's dream that you do something great with your life. But there's nothing greater than being right where God wants you, doing exactly what God wants you to do. Make this a memorable Mother's Day. You know something? If one child, if one young man, one young lady, and when I say, I'm talking about anybody, whether you're 50 or 60 or you're 16, if only one today, only one, would get yourself right with God in honor of your mother, this entire service this morning would all be worthwhile, every bit of it. Does somebody here need to rededicate your life to God? Are you a prodigal child running from God, running from the will of God? Are you backslidden away from church? Does your mom look down from heaven? Does she look down from heaven with joy? Where's Ralph Millat? Ralph, are you in here? You might be over in junior church. There he is. Stand up, Doc. You all can't see him. But Brother Ralph, I promise you something. Your mama looks down from heaven and she is so proud of you. What a revival. What a revival we've seen in his life. Now, he's not perfect. I'm not setting him up for you to attack him. But Brother Ralph, your mama looks down from heaven today and she sees what you do and she sees your faithfulness to God and she's proud of you. God bless you, Brother Ralph. You can have a seat there. Those of you, mamas already in heaven, make it so she can look down and she'll call the angels over to the banister in heaven and say, "Come here, let me show you something. That's my boy. That's my boy right there. That's my daughter right there. Those are mine right there, serving God." I just say to you, there he was, the Son of God hanging on a cross. And we can so easily miss it. At his feet was Mama. And everything that took place, Mother was soaking it up. Mother got to watch it all. And I'm talking about those things that I have mentioned today. That may be truly the first Mother's Day when God's Son, the God-man, gave attention to his mama as he died for mankind. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I welcome you to the Savior. Somebody here, if you got saved today, it mean so much. If you just get born again today, it means so much to your mom. You say, my mom wouldn't even understand it if I got born again. I'll tell you this. The day that she understands what heaven's like and what hell's like, she'll be glad you got saved. She will understand it someday.